A mighty anointing of the Lord that's in this house tonight. Anybody feel that tonight? Brother Rincon's going to come. He's going to be moved by the Holy Ghost. I appreciate our youth pastor, Brother Rincon. Dedication, commitment to the kingdom of God. Love for young people. Love for everybody. He even loves me. Go figure. If he can love me, he can love anybody. I'm telling you, there's a God that's on your side. There's God fighting for you. Before Brother Rincon comes, would you one more time just slip a hand up towards heaven? And could you just tell him, God, I really do love you. I really do thank you, God, for all your benefits, all your goodness. I should not be here tonight. I should not feel what I'm feeling here. But God, come on, lift up your voice and give him worship. Give him love. We love you today. We bless you today. Amen, amen, amen. Clap your hands again to the Lord. Brother Rincon, would you come and preach the word of God? Amen. Would you give it up for Brother Rincon, our own youth pastor? Amen. God bless him. Love him dearly.
Praise the Lord, church. Amen. Love what I feel in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank you to the praise team. What an awesome presence of God as they ushered us in. Thank you to the church for responding. It's always a beautiful feeling to be in the presence of God and to feel God's presence. We can't take that for granted, church. We can't take it for granted. When you have an opportunity to be in his presence, you've got to respond. You've got to worship because he's worthy of it. Amen? And he inhabits the praises of his people. And as we begin to raise our hands, we begin to feel that beautiful presence move into the room. I thank God for that. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to bring the word tonight. Don't take it lightly. God is moving in the church. I really feel that God is doing something in our midst, and I challenge the church to get involved in everything that God is doing through the direction of Pastor Grogan. If he's asking for your help, or if he needs help, or if you see an opportunity for you to do something, just do it. Just do it, right, Pastor? We want everybody involved. Amen. And I'm thankful for Pastor Grogan. Bishop, we had lunch today. It's always a good time fellowshipping with the bishop. I appreciate and love him as well. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, open up your Bible to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 5. Oh, I think it's Genesis chapter 2. Sorry. Verse 1. I'm sorry. It's not Genesis 2 and verse 1. It's Genesis 4 and 25. I'm sorry. I was looking at my computer going, something that doesn't look right. Genesis 4 and 25. It says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. One more verse, Luke chapter 3, verse 37. Luke chapter 3, verse 37 and 38. Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 37. Which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Mahlalel, which was the son of Canaan, next verse, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought. It is the appointed. The appointed. It says, for God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Amen. I wonder if you can do me a favor tonight and just extend your hands out to me and ask God to help me to preach his word. Amen. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God. I pray, God, that you would anoint my lips, God, that you would help me, Lord, to deliver the message, God, that you have given to your people, God. Anoint my mouth, God. Anoint their ears to receive it, God, and their hearts. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Here in Luke chapter 3, verse 37 and 38, we're reading about the genealogy of Jesus Christ. But it starts off with God, and then his son, which was Adam, and then his son, which was Seth. But if we go back to the garden, and we remember when God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, it said that on the sixth day that he created man, that he took some dust from the earth and he formed the man, and that he breathed into the nostrils of that man, and that man became a living soul. Then it says that he created all the animals of the earth and the fowls of the air from the dirt the same way. And that when he looked at Adam, he said, you know what? It ain't right that man should be alone. So he created all those animals for him. And then he said, you know what? I need to get Adam a helpmate. Adam fell asleep. When he fell asleep, God took out one of his ribs and created Eve. Could you imagine the look on Adam's face when he woke up from that nap? He no longer was a single man. All of a sudden, he was married. He woke up. He's like, whoa, what's up, girl? He was so happy to be married. The Bible says that he put them in the midst of the garden, and trees sprouted out of the ground of every kind of delicious food you can think of. And in that garden was the tree of life, and in that garden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God told them that they could partake of any tree, of any tree and fruit in the garden that was good to eat, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, from this one, you do not eat and you do not touch. You don't go by that thing. That's mine, said the Lord. Adam and Eve had everything. The Bible says that every animal came before Adam, and he named them. You know, he saw a frog jumping by. He's all like, frog. Kangaroo was hopping by. He's all like, kangaroo. He saw a donkey running by. He's all, donkey. How cool was that? I mean, they had some entertainment. They were there in the garden. They were naming all the animals. They could eat of anything they wanted. God came in the cool of the day and he walked with them. The Bible says that God would take a walk with Adam and Eve every day. Man, how awesome was that? They were just friends with God. They lived in a beautiful garden where there was nothing but peace and love and joy. And he told Adam that his job was to dress that garden and to keep it. So the only two things he had to do, he had to keep it clean, and he had to protect it. He had to keep it. Then all of a sudden, we read in, I think it's Genesis chapter 3 or chapter 2, where all of a sudden Eve is standing by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why in the heck would she be standing right next to the thing that God told her to stay away from? Well, I don't know about you guys, but for me, I was giving an example to the kids today when it was dinner time and there was some chocolate on the table. I always wanted to eat the chocolate first, even though my mom said, look, you can't have the chocolate until you eat your food. But even though she told me I couldn't have it until I finished my food, I wanted the chocolate. And when she wasn't looking, man, I took that sucker. Why is it that the thing that we're told to stay away from is the thing that we want the most? Man, I don't understand it. I know that we were made in the image of God and He formed us and He made us, but there's a nature inside of us that just wants what we can't have. And so I think God knew this all along, because the Bible says that the Lamb was slain before the earth was ever even formed. So God already made a plan for Adam and Eve's fall. But He was giving them a choice. He was giving them an opportunity to obey or to disobey. Eve was standing by that tree, and here comes a serpent crawling onto the scene, and he starts to talk to Eve. Now, everybody wants to blame Eve because she partook. But what happened to Adam? Wasn't Adam supposed to keep it, like protect that garden? How come he let that snake come into that garden? Why wasn't he standing there when that snake tried to slither in and be like, get your butt, get out of here. Can't come in this garden. This is my garden. The Bible says that God told them to have dominion over all the earth, right? He had dominion over all the earth, every fowl of the air, every beast of the ground, that He had dominion over it. And He was to replenish the earth. So He had power to keep that snake out, Pastor. He had the power. How? He had dominion over everything. God gave them dominion over everything. Every creature that crawled, He gave them power over everything. So what happened was that Adam, he kind of got caught slipping, I guess you could say. Because he ain't in the picture, but Eve all of a sudden is talking to this serpent. And he starts telling her, just eat it. You ain't going to die. Did God truly say you would die? He questions God's word first. Did He say you're going to die? He said, you ain't going to die. What's going to happen is that your eyes are going to be opened. And you're going to know between good and evil. And you're going to be like a God, like Him. That's all. And so she touches it. She grabs it. Bible says that she partakes of it. She takes a bite. And, well, did she die right there on the spot? No, but the Bible tells us that eventually she died. She went back to the dirt. She wasn't supposed to from the gate. She's supposed to live in that garden and replenish and have dominion over the earth. But she partook, and then she turns over to her man. He's like, what'd you do? And she's like, come on, have some, baby. It's like, okay. And the dude takes a bite out of the apple. And as soon as they took a bite, they realize they're naked. They have no clothes on. They're ashamed. And so they go and they find fig leaves and try to, you know, cover themselves up with, you know, ivy or whatever. You know, poison oak, whatever. I don't know. Whatever. They try to cover themselves up. The Bible says that God shows up. And He starts calling for them. And they're hiding. God knew they were hiding, but He just was calling for them to see how they would act. And when they finally get into His presence, He says, why are you hiding? He said, oh, because we don't have any clothes on. He said, who told you? Did you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Adam says, well, it wasn't me. It was the woman that you gave to me, my helper, she did it. And then she goes, well, it was the snake. You know, the snake deceived me. And so God was, he was pretty upset. And he says, you know what, snake? He says, I curse you. He says, from now on, you're going to slither on your stomach and you're going to eat dust all the days of your life. He says, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman and her seed and your seed. And her seed is going to crush your head and you're going to bruise his heel. The Bible says, now enmity means strife. That there's going to be beef. Where's the beef, bro? There it is right there. There it is right there. The beef was going to be between the woman and the snake. And between her seed and his seed. Now, I don't know, Pastor Grogan, but in my time in the church, I've noticed that there's always prayer warriors and it's always women. Because they got beef. God said, forever, the women are going to be at war with the snake. And so not only the woman, but he said her seed and your seed. And so there's always going to be this clashing of the women and Satan and the seed of the woman, which is us, the humans, and saying there's always going to be beef. And so he tells the woman, you know, he looks at her, he says, in childbearing, there's going to be pain for you and you're going to be subject unto your husband. And he looks at Adam and he says, you know what? From the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to work now. No longer are the trees going to pop out of the ground with beautiful fruit, but you're going to have to take a shovel, boy, and you're going to have to dig and put that seed in the ground and water it and fertilize it and make sure that you work to get your food from now on. It ain't just going to pop out of the ground. All the weeds and the thorns and the thistles, you're going to have to clean them up. That's why the man's got to go to work. Right, Pastor? If you're a man, you got to work. If you don't work, the dudes are like, what's wrong with you? Why don't you work? You're able. Why don't you work? And so the Bible says that he cursed all three of them. But there was hope for Adam and Eve. There was hope for them because he said, your child, your seed, is going to crush Satan. It's going to crush the snake. But you have to understand what happened there. As soon as they took a bite of that fruit that was on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they gave up their dominion on the earth. They're walking around naming everything, eating whatever they wanted, and they had power and dominion over everything. He was the man. When I say he was the man, he was the man. Until they sinned against God, and he gave up his man card to the devil. He gave it up. Satan now had power over human beings. Sin entered into the world. But they had hope. They said, you know, our seed is going to crush them. So Adam and Eve, after some time, they have a baby, and his name's Abel. And they're so happy and they're so excited. Could you imagine Adam and Eve, how happy they are to see that they had a boy, because God told them that your boy is going to crush the head of the serpent. So they're thinking, this is it. This is it, man. We have the boy. He's here. It's going to go back to the way it was. Because you got to remember, when they sinned, God kicked them out the garden. He said, you got to go. Angels were standing there at the post. They couldn't go back to just chilling, eating whatever they wanted on a hammock and not having to work. Those days were over. He was done. And so they had the baby and they're like, yes, this is it, man. We're going to be able to go back into the garden. Abel's going to be the one who takes care of business. In the process of time, they have another son. His name was Cain. They have two boys. They're starting to grow up. They go and take a sacrifice unto God. And Abel, he takes a blood sacrifice. He takes one of his best. He takes the best animal that he had. He brings it into God, spills the blood. God consumes it with fire, and he accepts the sacrifice. Cain brings crop from the field. His hard labor hands work to bring the corn and all this stuff. He brings it, and God says, no way. Cain gets jealous. He said, how come God takes his offering, but he don't take mine? And so he kills his brother. You know the story. He takes him out. Could you imagine Adam and Eve now? They had the promise. They had the boy that was going to get them back into that place where it was going to be heaven. But all of a sudden, their son murders their other son. Could you imagine? I mean, being a parent, I'm a parent. You are a parent. Can you even fathom that in your mind that one of your children would whack another one of your children? What horror, what pain they had to go through. And then the promise. What happened to the promise? Promise is gone. God tells Cain, you're going to be a vagabond, a nomad. You're out of here. You're going to be traveling, living in trailers and just roaming around the earth. You're done. Get out. He goes on his own. He was a son of Adam. He was a son of Adam, but he wasn't the appointed son of Adam. Bible says they had another son. Adam and Eve had another son. His name was Seth. The name Seth means appointed. Seth was the appointed. Now could you imagine Adam and Eve again, how happy they are to see this new boy. They're all like, yes, this is it, man. God gave us a substitute. He gave us another boy. This is going to be the one. This is going to be the one that finally crushes that snake's head once and for all. The devil was at work. The devil was at work with Cain. He was at work with Eve. And the reason why Satan hates humans so much is because he was the most beautiful angel that was ever created sitting in heaven. He had the most beautiful voice, every color that you could think of when the sun hit him would just radiate all over the heavens. When God's presence would come, he would shine all kinds of colors, and he'd sing and he'd worship God. But he got prideful. He started to get arrogant. He started to think that because he was so beautiful and his voice was so good, be careful, that he should be the one calling the shots. And so he says, I'm going to put my seat above God. And he starts trying to influence other people. Hey, come here. Check this out. I'm gonna rebel against the man. I'm going to take his seat. Who's with me? Bible says a third of the heaven joins up with him. And they rebel against God. And let me tell you how powerful God is compared to the devil. Because when it came down to it, the Bible says that God, with his finger, he kicked the devil out of heaven. He said, bam. He said, like a star, like a falling star, he fell from heaven. The devil has no power over God. They're not equal, okay? All right? God is all powerful. The devil's just a fallen angel. Right? But he took dominion on the earth that God had given to Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God. And so Adam and Eve look at Seth as the one that's going to do it. And guess what? He really was. But Adam and Eve never got to see it. Because they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they eventually died. They probably saw 7, maybe 8 generations of their family live. And then they were gone. After Seth, he had a son, a couple of generations later, there was Enoch. Enoch, the Bible says, walked with God. He loved God. And then he was not. God just took him up. He never, ever saw death. Everyone else before that died because of the disobedience to God's word. But Enoch was from the appointed line of Seth. And the Bible says that Enoch was taken up into heaven, which is a cool thing. Because the Bible says that at the last trump, that there's going to be 2 people in the field, right? One is going to get caught up, taken into heaven. One's going to be left behind.
And so that's just like a shadow, a type of the rapture of the church. God has just given us a picture of being taken from the earth alive straight to heaven. Amen? Beautiful thing. Then after Enoch, down the line of Seth, the appointed one, came Noah, who was appointed. Noah was appointed. He was appointed to get all the animals into the ark because God was so upset and so frustrated that he even created humans because they were so evil upon the earth. Well, where'd they come from? Where these people come from? Start acting like, well, probably mostly from Cain's line, right? Maybe some of Seth's people, but mostly from Cain's line. But the Bible says that the earth was so corrupted with evil that God said, you know what? I'm going to destroy them. But Noah was appointed. He found favor with God. Noah starts telling people, you know what? Get into the boat. It's going to rain. God's going to flood the earth. It's going to kill everybody. They start laughing at him. Because the Bible says that during this time, it hadn't even rained. It says that dew came from the ground and would wet and moisten everything on the earth. So they looked at him like, what? Going to flood the earth? You're crazy. But the day came that the ark was finished. And the Bible says that God closed that door. It was too big for any man to do it himself, but God shut that door. And when he shut that door, it started to rain. And it didn't stop raining until everybody and everything that was left on the earth died. The same way that God shut the door on Noah's ark is the same way that God is going to shut the door in our time. When the time of the Gentiles is up, God's going to shut the door. And all those that are not in the church, if you're not in the church, it's like you weren't in the boat, it's going to be over for you. The appointed time is going to come, and the appointed of God will go straight to heaven. And the ones that are not are going to perish. And so you go down further down the line of Seth, you get to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, men appointed by God for a purpose. Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees to go to a place that God was going to show him. And he said, look at the stars and look at the sand. You're going to have descendants as many as the stars and as many as the sand. He said, you're going to have so many kids. He said, leave. And time was appointed for him to have a son. But he couldn't wait. He couldn't wait for the promise. So him and his wife jumped the gun. And they give the servant girl to Abraham. And he has a baby with her. And they're all happy. We have an heir. But he wasn't in the promised line of Seth. This was something that he wanted to do on his own, him and his wife, because they didn't believe they could do it. Could you imagine being 80, 90, 100 years old and God telling you you're going to have a baby? Now, Abraham was the father of the faithful. He had great faith. But I think his old lady was not on the same page with him. I don't think she was. I don't think she was. She was like, hey, you need to get this done now. We need a child. But there was an appointed time. And the appointed came. They had Isaac. After Isaac was born, they kicked out Ishmael and his mom. They became a great nation. They left. But the promise was with Isaac. And then Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. Down the line came Moses. Moses was on the backside of a desert one day. And he sees a burning bush. But it's not being consumed. And God says, take off your feet, for where you stand is holy ground. And he tells him, look it, I need you to go back to Egypt. I need you to take my children out of bondage. I've heard their cries. Go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. So there goes Moses into Egypt. And he delivers them. The thing about that part of scripture that moves me was that the fire was on the bush, but the bush was not being consumed. So there's a fire going on, but nothing's being destroyed. And like that fire, I want to tell you that some of you might feel like you're under a lot of stress and you feel like you're going through that fire. But if God is with you, I want you to know that that fire, it can't consume you. That fire can't consume you. It can't take you out. It cannot take you out. Just like the children of Israel are in bondage in Egypt. And they're over there thinking that their life is over. They're there for hundreds of years and they're slaves. And they thought they were being consumed. But look at God was with them the whole time. Yeah, they were through the fire. They might have been in the midst of the fire, but they weren't being consumed. Look at the three Hebrew boys. When the king threw them into that pit, they were in the fire, but they were not being consumed. Why? Because in that fire, there was one who looked like the Son of God. God was with them in that fire. And I don't care what you're going through tonight. I'm telling you right now, you have been appointed. You have been appointed by God. And whatever you're going through cannot consume you. If you are a child of God, you just need to stand up straight and be like, you know what? If God be for me, then who can be against me? You just got to just stand there and be like, come on, bring it on. I can't be consumed. I cannot be consumed. I have been appointed by God. It's my time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. I thank God for the fire of the Holy Ghost. I thank God. The Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, it was like a mighty rushing wind that came in. But then said there was cloven tongues as a fire set on each one of them. They were on fire. Their heads were on fire, but they weren't being consumed. Woo. Thank God for the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Whew. I want to tell you today that after Moses came King David. David had an appointed time. King David was someone that was called the man after God's own heart. And the thing that moves me about David wasn't all the psalms that he wrote. It wasn't all the wars that he fought, the taking out the giant. His attitude was awesome. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the dude was bad. He was a bad dude, and I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean, he was a bad dude. I mean it in a good way. He was a powerful man. Young boy, took out a giant. He took armies out. He did all these things. But the thing that moves me the most about David is David is one of the only people in the Bible that didn't ask God for stuff, but he said, God, I want to do something for you. I want to build you a house. And God looked at him and said, you want to build me a house? You want to build me a house? Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. How are you going to build me a house? He said, I'll tell you what. I'll build you a house. And what he meant by that is that through the appointed Seth, right? Seth, Enoch, Noah, Moses, David, going down the line. He says, through your bloodline, David, I'm going to come. And I'm going to build you a house. There's going to be a body that's going to come through your bloodline. Amen. And I am going to walk this earth. I'm going to inhabit the praises of my people, but I am going to be right there where you are, David. Through your bloodline, I'm going to come and I'm going to save the world. And so David had an appointed time. After David, of course, we know the Messiah shows up. Jesus is on the spot. The appointed time had come. Jesus Christ takes on the sins of the entire world. He dies on the cross, spills his blood. The Bible says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. At the appointed time, Jesus Christ says, it is finished. The Bible says that the veil tore from top to bottom, exposing the Ark of the Covenant. The ground shook, and that the saints of the Old Testament, their graves were opened up and they walked up into Jerusalem. Let me read it for you so you don't think I'm lying. Oh, what a powerful thing. Because the Bible says in the New Testament that the dead in Christ shall rise first. It says, Matthew 27 and 51. It says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There's an appointed time where God's going to come back. And those that have already died, they've already had their appointed time. I'm talking about since the day of Pentecost until today. Those that have died, faithful men and women of God, at the sound of that trumpet, them people are going to go first. And then us will get caught up in the air at the appointed time for the appointed people. Amen. And it says that we're going to be caught up with Jesus. And this is the hope of the believer. You know, the difference between people who believe in God and don't believe in God is they really don't have faith in the Word of God. They don't want to believe the Bible. Why don't they want to believe the Bible? You know, I heard people saying they want to remove the Bible in California. They want to get it out of here. You heard that? Anybody hear that? Why do they want to do that? Why? Because the Bible is the truth. And the truth says that a man cannot be with the man and a woman cannot be with the woman. So if you just remove the Bible that convicts them or tells them that is wrong, then they have the green light to do whatever they want. So all they want is the truth removed from everything. Take the Bible out so that way we can do whatever we want to do and we don't have to feel guilty about nothing, because who's going to tell us that it's wrong? There's no more Bible. Right? I mean, this is the way it is. And I don't understand why somebody would want to turn their back on a God who died on the cross so that he can deliver them from their sins. I don't understand it. People that say, oh, I'm mad at God, he took my mom, or I'm mad. Well, what are you talking about? If you want to be mad at anybody, be mad at the devil. The Bible says that he's going to eat dust all the days of his life, that he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Guess what we're made of? We're made of dust. Guess what he wants to do? He wants to take you out. This is his sole purpose in life. He wants to take you out. So if you want to be mad at anybody because somebody died or somebody got sick or someone in your family, look at the devil and say, you know what, devil? I'm ticked off at you, not at God. Why? Because God came to give me life and life more abundantly. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. People out there just don't know how much God really loves them. They don't understand what God has done for them. And that's why it's our job. And that's why we're appointed today. Just like Jesus was appointed in his time, just like Peter was appointed in his time, we are appointed in our time to go and tell the people the truth of the Word of God, because they can have salvation. Amen. John the Baptist was appointed. He prepared the way. Peter was appointed. He preached on the day of Pentecost when they said, what must we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this promise is unto you and to your children and to all those that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. You're appointed today. If you've already been baptized in his name, you're appointed today. If you haven't been baptized in his name, let me tell you, you're still appointed. No man comes unto the Father unless he's drawn by God. So you're here today because God has appointed a time and a place for you to hear the truth of the word of God so that you can repent of your sins. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and you can be filled with his spirit. Amen. Musicians, if you'll come, I'm done. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2 says, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. He's saying Jesus Christ was God. God was manifested in the flesh. He was a human being. He came and he endured everything that you're enduring. Every temptation, every struggle that you think you might have that is too hard, God endured it. And he tells you, it's okay. You can overcome. I've appointed you. It is the time now to overcome the enemy. I already crushed that serpent's head. He can't eat you anymore. I gave you dominion back, power over the enemy. And you have it. You have it. The Bible says that the devil gets scared at the very mention of the name of Jesus Christ. You have the power over the devil. He has no power over you. He was defeated at the cross. He was the seed of the woman who crushed his head. Amen. You have been appointed today. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Those that don't believe and accept what Christ has done, they have been appointed too. The rock, Jesus Christ, who is our salvation, will crush them. They'll beat up against it and crush themselves. But not us. Listen to what it says. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Amen. You have been appointed to preach the gospel. You have been appointed today to go to the highways and the byways and tell the people of the love of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're appointed, church. We're appointed. And I believe that this part of this service is the most important. You see, forgiveness of sins is for those who repent of their sins. The Bible says that if you confess your sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive you of those sins. And so the time has come, the appointed time has come for the appointed of God to come to this altar, to raise their hands to heaven, and to repent of their sins. Because let me tell you something. Jesus Christ, at the appointed time, he died on the cross for your sins. And what's required of you every day is it appointed for you to die. Every day is appointed for you to die to your own will, to your own self. You got to get to an altar and you got to say, God, if there be anything inside of me that doesn't belong, God, I ask you to remove it. You have to die daily. It's appointed for you to die on the daily. It's not enough to repent on Sunday. I'm sorry. It's not enough to repent on Sunday and Wednesday. No. It's appointed for you to die every single day to yourself and allow God to live inside of you. These altars are open. I beg you to come. I beg you to come. The appointed time is now. Raise your hands to heaven. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Oh, come on. Don't worry about what the person next to you is going to say or think. God will forgive when you ask for forgiveness. The appointed time is now.
Come on, let's talk to the Lord. God, search my heart. God, search my heart, God. Search the cracks and crevices within. God, I want to please you. I want to live for you, God. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Come on, that's beautiful. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice and connect with Him. Oh God, help me, God. Help me, God. Direct my steps. Guide my path, God. Help my home, God. Help my family, God. Oh, baptize us afresh. Hallelujah. Come on, why don't you lay a hand on the person next to you? Why don't we connect with one another? Why don't we pray with one another? Help us, God. Help us to be more like you. Help us to be accountable, God, to you. Lead us, God, I pray. Come on, all across this building. Come on, just talk to Him. He loves you. He's got mercy for you. He wants to whisper into your ear. He's got it all under control. Hallelujah. Help us, God. Help us, God. Oh, God. Come on, minister one to another. Speak a word over them. Can't live without you, God. Help me, God. Help me live right. Help me act right. Help me walk right. Yes. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I feel His presence here. I feel His touch here. God, I choose you. I choose you, God. I choose you, God. In the name of the Lord, Anorakayato, Shataya Korayana Yaraso. God, everything I have, I give to you, God. Thank you for your love, your mercy, God. Shatarayana Yako. Come on, that's the power of the Lord here tonight. Hallelujah. That's the power of God working in your life. You just got to open up that door, God. I'm letting you in, God. Take up home in my life. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank God. Jesus. Oh, I love you today, God. I love you today, God. Sharayara kaya raso. Yarandayako. Hallelujah. Come on, make up your mind. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to live right. I'm going to act right. I'm going to dress right. I'm going to talk right. Hallelujah. God, I love you. I love you today. Oh, God, I love you. Love your name. Love your name. Come on, I feel a beautiful presence of the Lord here tonight. I feel his touch here today. Can't make it without you, God. Can't make it without you, God. God, you're wonderful. God, you're wonderful. Yes. Oh, yes. Use me, Lord. Oh, use me, Lord. Take all of me. You live within my heart. My hand, take my feet, fall away. You lead. Come on, that's his love you feel. That's a touch of the Lord. Glad that you're here. You're in great company right here. Amen. This is the first time you've been here? Okay, because I've seen you before. So glad to have you. You're welcome anytime. Oh, use me, Lord. Oh, use me, Lord. All of me. You live within my heart, my hands, my feet. Where you live, yes, yours and yours. Use me, Lord. 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 Use me, Lord.